Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table.
Amen. Welcome to Light of the World, Christian Tabernacles. Noonday Bible Study. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for another day. He spared our lives another opportunity, amen, to learn all about him. Hallelujah. We thank him, we bless him, and we glorify him. Majesty, dominion, and power belong to him. Hallelujah. He is worthy of all the praises, amen, all the honor and all the glory, because he is awesome in all his ways. He is like
this, we just think flesh is normal life or something. Yeah, it's natural. You know, and we would if we are in good. Oh, that's natural for me to do this or to think that way or to be that way, mm-hmm. you know. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so I mean, the things of the natural man are the carnal man. That's the word, you know, and people rather say the word natural than carnal because carnality now it seems like sin, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you just say, oh, that's natural for me to do that or to think that way, you know, now it don't seem like a sin. It just seems like, oh, that's mm-hmm. a natural thing. But when you start to tell somebody they live in a carnal life or lifestyle, oh, man, yeah, they're ready to mm-hmm. combat you, you know, to say, you know, I'm not just, but in actuality, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I know I didn't want to admit it because you go to church and you think, oh, you know, so I'm not, I don't have a carnal mind, but oh, yeah. You, mm-hmm. just, you put your mind, you go to church with a physical body and still sit there with a carnal mind.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Carnal mind is death. So where are we putting our thought in? And, you know, the law of the spirit and the law of the flesh, Moses' law is just like Moses got the children of Israel to view the promised land. That's the law. We're able to see, we're able to get information about the now, and then Joshua took them into. So when Jesus came, he takes us into. Now we can really live. And we don't have to live by our carnal mind. We don't have to live by the law of the of Moses, because now we are in the promised land. We are in Christ. We talked about last week. So we don't have to be going trying to follow some ritual, because what's in us gonna come out. And so if you got Christ on the inside, it's gonna show out on the outside. Somebody used to sing a song, working on the inside, and it's going to work on the outside. That's one of the old songs, way back, way back. Amen. And so when we got to be careful now, not to say, you know, we have to consider life because we live in this world and we do this, we do that. But if we understand, we're here for a season. This is not our home. And so while we're here, we cannot act like we're going to be here forever. And everything that we're trying to possess, we have to realize that if it's not something for us to use while we're here, we don't need it. Because after a while, we're going to be gone. I don't care how long you can live. If you want to live 120 years, that's good. But you're still going to be gone after a while. And so the thing is that while we're here, we have to make sure that we are building our eternal home. Because if we are born again, this world is not our home. And this world ain't nobody's home when you really think about it. Even the sinners, this ain't going to be their home because this going to be destroyed. when we walk after the Spirit, we're not putting preference on natural things. We're putting preference on spiritual and eternal. Because if you build something that's eternal, it's never going to cease. It's never going to go away. It's always going to exist. And so we can have the best house. You can have the best. I mean, those people in Riverside, California have some beautiful homes. But today, it's ashes. Ashes. I mean, you're talking about some beautiful homes. I mean, man can create some beautiful stuff. Oh, my God, you watch that HD, whatever, that HD TV? I mean, you can see some beautiful places. But if you spend all your energy trying to build that up, and you know, you said that if you store up your treasure on earth, your rust and moss can come. When it's all over, you're not going to have nothing left. So it's best to build, and they sing back in the day, I'm sending up my timber every day. I'm building my home on high. I'm sending up my timber every day. And so if we spend our time just dealing with what we see, we're going to miss the kingdom. And so that's our carnal, is what we see, what's physical, what's natural. And we have to live in this natural world. But the natural is not going to be priority. That's where we get all messed up. We don't have our priorities. My mama say, have your priorities straight.
What is that? You said, I'm sending up my timber every day. Maybe somebody here could say what that is.
Oh.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think one of the things they say, you know, people say prayer.
Prayer.
And other people said that what they're doing is because they have a mansion on high, like they're sending up their provision for that mansion. Which we know that Jesus is sending.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the
honoring
to use a metaphor.
Yeah.
He's using the amber, sending my timber to build my mansion.
It's like a tree?
Whatever I'm sending, now it can be your worship, it can be your prayer, it can be whatever, but you're sending that ahead that you're building up your home. Now we know it's just a metaphor.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Right? So we know we don't have to prepare a place, but we're sending up timbers, and every prayer is being caught up and sealed, right, and kept. Every prayer and every tear that we cry is stored up. So when we say we're sending it up, it's being stored up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Say it like in the old church. There's actually a man that's you can see a farmer out flying the field.
Yeah.
But what he, when you said, I'm sending up my timber, is that I'm sending up solid timber, like an oak tree or something that's solid, rather than sending up stubble. But mm-hmm. they're going to come when what our works are going to be judged and it's going to be thrown in the fire. And the way they send up their timber, especially back in the old days, so most of them were out way out by the sales and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sending it up as I do my daily work. I'm not just doing it for me. I'm praying for other folks. I'm giving folks veggies out of my garden. I'm giving some of my meat. I'm doing the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it seems like it's just me, I'm doing it for people who are worse off than me.
Because
mm-hmm. I remember when I was small, my grandmother used to make us work in the garden. She had a big garden.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you raising all this big, you know, meat baskets of sweet potatoes and corn and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she would take it during the fall when you start gathering this crop, make us take this basket of corn to Miss Jones or this Mr. Warner, taking different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wintertime, when they start slaughtering hogs,
mm-hmm.
that same Mr. Jones
mm-hmm.
would bring over a slab of bacon, a half mm-hmm. a slab of bacon, or a shoulder. And that, they did that all year long. And even it didn't have to be the garden time. It may be pecan gathering
mm-hmm.
time and
mm-hmm.
all this stuff. And they That's what they call setting up their temple, helping their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the old church, people who didn't have would come to the church, and the pastors and the apostles and all of them would gather everything and hand it out. That's what messed up Ananias and Sapphira. So when they were talking about setting up their timber, they were, I'm doing the best I can with what I have to help somebody else. And when they gave it to you, it wasn't expecting, like, go down the road and ask Miss Johnson to send me a, 2 cups of flour, a cup of meal, some salt or some sugar, and they wasn't expecting you to come back next week and say, hey, Miss Jackson, I bought some grease and I'm paying it back. You know, they were doing it based upon what they believed they should be doing, what was in their heart. Because, you know, these people were going through some bad times. You know, not just 1 or 2 year bad years. The whole life was bad. Because I was the victim of racism when we would, y'all ain't old enough, but when we had segregated schools and colored bathrooms and colored water fountain and go around to the back door at the restaurant and all that kind of stuff. And our grandparents had it worse than that. And if you're laying on them, come and tell them that, oh, that's mine. No, son, that's son. My granddaddy gave it to me. I said it's mine. Yes, sir. That kind of stuff. But as they were doing good to one another, to their neighbors, that's what they call setting up their temple. You know, they doing the work of God, the will of God, being kind. And it came from the pulpit, from preachers who had no education. Some of them were just like our parents. They couldn't read. They had churches where they go to this church this Sunday, this church this Sunday, go to the next church once a month, and they rolled around on mules and wagons. They didn't have all this great, you know, their amenities, but they were doing the best they could as to what the Holy Spirit told them that God wanted them to do.
That's awesome.
So by looking to our minds, how may we, whether we are after the flesh or after the spirit, by examining what we mind, the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit, carnal pleasure, worldly problems, things of sense and time, are the things of the flesh, and this is ungenerated people mind. You've not been born again. So the favor of God and the welfare of the soul, the concern of eternity, are the things of the spirit. When you're concerned of the favor of God, when you're concerned about things of the spirit, when you're concerned about eternity, you are now expressing the thinking, the mind of the spirit. And so the man is as his mind is. The mind is the forge of his thoughts. As he thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. Which way do the thoughts move with most pleasure? On what they think dwell with most satisfaction? The mind is the seat of wisdom. Which way go to the project and the whether we can more wise for the world or for our soul? Now, we seeking after to get our soul pleasure satisfied, or we seeking after pleasing God. And that distinguishes us between walking in the spirit or walking after the flesh. Because we mind the things of the flesh. And everything people see is about what I can get, what's for me. The rich man Diabetes. He said good every day, right? And didn't want for anything. And Lazarus had nothing but some sores. And so this man Diabetes' only concern was how well he was living, how things laid out. He wore purple. You know, that's royalty when you wear purple. And so everything he thought about was just on himself and what was good for him. But as soon as he died,
and realize that he was in a miserable place. It's when now he wants to. He wants the world preached on now.
The rich man is kind of like we are today. We love to keep an image. We all about preaching people, and we all about concern about somebody got to say about us. But we need to get more concerned about what God says or thinks about us. That way, we don't find ourselves falling in those type of traps. Now, I'm sure if the rich man could do it back over, he wouldn't have never fell in the trap that he fell in. But sometimes, if you're not in my circle, then, you know, you can't hang with me. But since I'm trying to be in your circle, I want to make sure that I please you, whether you're right or you're wrong. Most of the time, you're wrong. But, you know, I love to compromise because I'm trying to keep an image. And you're right. We do need to get our priority in order.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
And so it's easy to understand, right, that common mind is death. Spiritual is life. It seems easy to choose, right? I mean, who wouldn't choose life as opposed to death? But the thing is, what you said was, it's impossible for them to understand. Paul say, you know, the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. And so it looked right. It is amazing how you see people who are so self-righteous that they can be doing the same wrong that somebody else is doing, and they can point the finger at that person doing that wrong, and they just finished doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And has no conviction because they can't see. Their mind is so closed, and they're so much on themselves that they elevate themselves above, like people say, above the Lord. So rather than seeing themselves, they all heard a connotation saying that people would look out the window at everybody else, never look at the mirror to see themselves. Because when you're carnal-minded, you're so focused on you are so great. You are doing everything good. And if you're not doing anything good, you're still doing the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're caught up on what's going on in your life as opposed to what God wants you, how God wants you to live, when you think about the rich man and Lazarus, Lazarus lived in poverty. All he had was his food. But he was there as a witness. The rich man died. He was ministering. The rich man died every day without saying a word. He ministered. His concern was to just do what God had him to do. Rich man, Lazarus didn't cry. Oh, why me? Let's just do this. Oh, why me? No. What he did was he allowed a dog to come and listen to get him some comfort. But that's all he had in life. But he ministered to this rich man. So sometime in our lives, we can feel like we're so below. And people are so prosperous and they're going all of, but are you pleasing God? Are you doing God's will? Are you walking the way God wants you to walk? Are you in place? Because all of us have a place to be. Because we have a ministry in us that God has us hosted at a place to minister to a different one. So are we willing to come out every day Lazarus could have just stayed home and had some kinfolk. If he had a home, right? He could just stay in his tent and ask somebody to go get him some food or whatever. Like the, but God had him posted. And so our spiritual mind will have us to think about what God wants, not about what I want. Our common mind is that what I want. What's good for me? What's good for my family? What's good for me? What I mean, all everything back to, and the thing is that I'm not going to be here always. This natural stuff ain't going to last always. Everything, because we live in time, everything have an expiration. Everything. And so we can't live as if there's no expiration. Only if we are living after the Spirit can we really live that. If not, we're going to be living according to our carnal mind, which is time. Time's going to end. And so if we live according to time, we're living according to an end. That's why he said carnal mind is death. Because there's an end to that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you live the Spirit, you live eternity, that's life. And above even that, is when we live carnal minded, we are separated from God. That's what brings the separation. And that's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so now we can get in relationship with God, because we cannot do it in the carnal. And so he said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So no matter how you try, you cannot. Well, the next verse don't say that. I did not say that. let me not go forward. Any other comment on that before we go to the next two verses? No? Okay, so Elder David, do verse 8 and 9.
Yeah, I'm a glass. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot praise God.
See,
but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, question. When you see people, well, we have to say in sanctuary, because we don't know what they're doing, that don't appear to be praising God as we do, as we think he should. Does it mean that that person is not in the Spirit? There are some people who, but that same thing. I got a sister-in-law who, well, I know, I got a sister-in-law, and I have some aunts, aunts, like aunties like that. You go by the house during the week, and you would think they were in there watching wrestling. Remember how people used to watch wrestling on Saturday afternoon, and you couldn't come to the house, you better knock on the door? They be in there, you think they're fighting and all this stuff, but they be in there hollering about Ric Flair and all this. Things like this. But I know some people who are like that. When they get by themselves, put people out and don't be bothered with children, y'all go, and they will praise God. What I call that effectual fervent prayer or fervent praise. You know? And my grandmama used to be like that. And I used to like be sleeping out. I'd be like, oh, please shut up. You know, but she'd be, my mother-in-law, like that, she'd be talking all over the place and 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And they didn't care who heard her. Wow, they've been so good to me. Woo, thank you for this. Whoa, this stuff. I'm like, And my grandma had rheumatoid arthritis, you know, and she never worked. She couldn't work for the arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
But she was crying, Lord, you know, and she had like 15 children, and her husband died when she was 30 and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be crying and just praising God and thanking God for what all he did. I'm like, what is it that you see?
They didn't did.
That I don't see. Well, it took some time for me to go through some things.
Mm-hmm.
And it took some time for me to realize that a lot of the things that I made it through wasn't so much as my faith, it was more her faith.
Mm-hmm.
The prayers that she prayed and the and the faith.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just her. It was a lot of the older people, especially,
mm-hmm.
like I said, they had hard times. And
mm-hmm.
they raised the crops, and the crop owner was stealing money and wouldn't
mm-hmm.
pay them everything.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing they could do about it. They couldn't run to the sheriff and nothing like
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
But they just had it in them. Then I seen people in church that jump over fences and do all this kind of stuff Monday morning. A Monday they out in the street going with the girlfriends and drinking whiskey. I knew so many people who were married. The wives, they lived here and had a woman over there. And a woman over there and got children here.
Mm-hmm.
But on Sunday morning, they had on the sharpest suit
mm-hmm.
and up in church a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. And that's when I see this about people who don't praise, well, are they praising the way we think they should?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could probably go in any church, especially black church, because I ain't never been to white church. And there are people who appear to be holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they walk on water and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
but we can't judge coming from, are they real or not real? Because Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, quick and powerful
mm-hmm.
and sharpened in and through his sword,
mm-hmm.
cutting asunder the bone from the flesh and bone from the marrow. Mm-hmm. And being a discerner
mm-hmm.
of the intents of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So who, I mean, is that something that God gave us equipment or tools to discern the intents of the heart? Is that something that's reserved just for God to discern the intents of the heart? Whether or not what we're doing and saying in the sanctuary is actually us, or is it, because I used to work with people, women come to work on Monday night, girl, me and my sister went to church, and we got our praise on.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, we were just dancing. And then after church, we ain't got our drink on. We ain't got us some Hennessy. But how do you know who is the true worshiper of
mm-hmm.
God?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go by, you can't go by the actions, so I guess you got to, like I said, in Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it says this about praise, if you're not praising God, if it's not physical praise, and you're not showing the praise of God, then who can know other than the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the fruit. Amen to that, and just to add too, because well, I'm a reader. Mine has, and those who, this is the New International Version, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, so, but it is just saying that if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So, it is just saying that if you're in the flesh, you can't really please God. And it because the flesh doesn't know the spirit. And when he's mentioned about the discerner, yeah, the spirit is the one that is a discerner and could divide asunder and this, that, and the other. So it's not that the spirit itself can go into your heart and discern. If you are pleasing God, if you're a true worshiper, and so
that's one of the things that we, in praying for other people, we could pray to send the Spirit to discern the intent of their heart. And that, because the Spirit is truth, is God. So when the Spirit discerns the intent of their heart and let them know they're not pleasing God, then ask the Spirit to direct that to their mind, to change their mind and bring, you know, bring their mind to Christ in, you know, a particular thing. Because he's like, we can't discern the heart. We can, you know, outside motions might not mean anything. But I think, too, because we are discerners of the Spirit, you know, we could tell, you know, the Spirit by the Spirit of someone if you are discerning that. But some people, like I say, think they are. If they're still in the carnal mind, Pastor Butterfield say they're enemies, they're at enmity with Christ, and I think my reading up here said, what did that say, Pastor Ann? Hostile.
Uh-huh.
That you are hostile towards Christ, towards God. If you are still portraying that you are one way on the outside, but your heart is, you know, is filled with I think you used the word stubble.
Yeah.
You can't send stubble up because all of that stuff is going to rot and die. I think in the beginning of the lesson you said about moths and whatever that particular scripture was.
So can we go back to that scripture where you were just reading, like if you are in the Spirit, if you are born again, you are not. Read that.
Okay. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you,
mm-hmm.
but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
Okay. So can a born-again, you're talking about born-again person be carnal?
They could still have a carnal mind until they mature, but as they mature, no, so can they be fully carnal?
Not fully.
But
can a
born
again
renewing of their mind, can they practice carnal things?
Yes.
Can a born again Christian, I believe, practice carnal things, but not as a lifestyle? Can carnal things come upon them and they recognize it by the Holy Spirit and begin to pray against that and ask to be delivered from that? Yes. But if you can't, to me, if you are born again Christian and you're living a lifestyle of carnality, you need to go back and check your salvation.
This man Paul, he told us that the flesh and the spirit war one against the other all day, all night. One trying to get you to do one thing, one trying to get you to do another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they keep warring is because sometimes that flesh, the carnality, is going to overwhelm.
Yeah.
Most of the time, the spirit, he said, if you are led by the Spirit, you won't give in to the lust of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the devil comes at you in three different ways: lust of the flesh, the lust of life, and the pride of life, and all this stuff. He's trying to get you to focus your attention on. That's why you see on Sunday mornings, pretty Sunday morning, you go by the car washes, all of them are full. Now that doesn't mean that there's not some out there who had already been to church and got their praise on, then go to the car wash. But all day Saturday, all day Sunday, I think some people go wash them two or three times just to be seen. But the flesh and the spirit were one against the other. And it seems like the flesh knows when they come on you, when you're depressed, when you're down, when you're weak, when you're in the other Butterfield, not speaking to each other. Oh, but y'all don't do that.
God forbid.
I've been married 55 years. I bet the 50 years would even speak to each other. But it seems to know when to come at you and when to attack the weak spot that's in your armor. It seems to know that when you don't have on that, with that full armor of God, you talk about it in Jesus and all that kind of stuff. It's hard for, I think, for any Christian to have on that full armor of God 24/7, especially the one that when it says, have your feet shod with the gospel of preparation. Well, that's why he wrote that scripture, as much as it be on you, keep the peace. And if you don't, then that, the devil sitting out there. As in the Bible said that sin surges at your door. He's sitting there waiting for you to say something, to have a certain type of attitude, so he can come in and attack you, and he might not knock you out. You want to hit you in the knees, knock you down. That keeps you from doing all the things that you would do, that you know to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we know to pray. You know the answer to the, you know the solution to the problem, but we just don't do it. Mm-hmm. And you got sister-in-law or somebody call you, you're putting all your money in that church. You don't need to be tithing. Ain't nothing to all that. Come on, go with me to a new life special out in Walmart. Come on, let's go out to Red Lobster. Well, you may all you feel better. Come on. Now you're walking down the path because you know you're that somebody else is influencing you because the devil is using them to talk to you.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Emma Davis just said some of it, but I'm going to kind of hit on it. The answer to your question, I would say yes, a Christian can be harmony-minded.
Yep.
It's because it's when we let our guard down and we begin to hang around the wrong group of people and we begin to eat from the wrong table. And what I mean about that in the church.
And
so you eating from the wrong table, and you know that God did not send you there. So, we can. That's why Paul said we need to repent
daily.
We repent daily. So if we have to do it, what makes you think
there
I
you
don't
go.
Have to do
it? There you go. That's so true. We got her. With
Elder Davis and with Sister Ollie, and I think he said something important about the flesh and, you know, spirit warring against each other. And I think the thing that you know that you are more or less living the lifestyle of a carnal life is when this war comes up and you don't consider it a war. You got to know that the spirit, Holy Spirit, is at war with the flesh in you.
Mm-hmm.
But if the flesh in you in a particular area overtake you every time, or you just yield to it because you don't consider it being in enmity with the
against
spirit
God.
Against God, and it seems a natural thing. You know, the word also says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's nothing the enemy shapes and forms as an accusation from my past lifestyle. That's the formation using the word yetar, Y-A-T-A-R, using that formation that he will put it on you again, constantly firming. So no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you know that is an area, and like you say, death, you have to be delivered, you have to die daily, and that's why I say, yeah, can carnality come into your mind and thought? Yeah, the enemy, he's going to make sure he does that every day. But if you don't consider it as being a war or warring against the flesh, then you're going to live that lifestyle and you'll find yourself weakening as a born-again believer.
But you're a born-again believer, but weakening because.
That's the... That when you think about carnality, and again, English language words are so limited that we take carnality to mean that you remember when Jesus said, "Thou art the Son of the Living God." Jesus said, flesh and blood that did not need to be in this
right.
The Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
A few verses later on, when he said he's going to be crucified and dead and going to be killed, mm-hmm. Peter said, be far from it.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said, get behind me,
Satan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his love for Christ, think about it now. Listen to what he's saying. He wasn't trying to do something wrong, but he was saying it was against the will of God.
Yeah. Right.
That's why he became conscious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my mind.
When we talk about walking after the Spirit, you get the favor of God. That's
mm-hmm.
not right.
Yeah.
So what Peter said was against the will of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus came to die for our sins.
Right.
So exactly. Peter said, be far from it.
Right.
But Peter don't think he's doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But because his carnal relationship with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
he don't want nothing bad to happen to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that you're going up trying to sleep.
No.
It's because you got the flesh stick over your understanding. Not that you're pursuing after evil. You're pursuing after the flesh. No, not that at all. You're
no.
born again. You're not going to be pursuing evil.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't be careful, this carnal mind, your carnal nature would allow you to go against the will. That's what I'm saying. So the difference is somebody's sinning going after sin, and they come. They know that person is there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go to try to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. That's trying to satisfy
them. Right.
So we got to do two is, we say we spiritually discern somebody. Right? God sends you a discernment about somebody doing whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you go talk to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We get calm minded, all of a sudden it's become gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of you fasting and praying for that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To bring that person to deliverance. That's why God gives it to you. But our whatever nature we got, you know, we before we got saved, we were gossip.
Mm-hmm. I mean, still saved.
You don't be careful and watch it. If you're not watching yourself, you can caught right up in that stuff.
Really?
Before you know it, you done got all the way in there. Oh, my God, how did I get here?
Yeah, right.
And then because you are born again, you're going to get convicted. But you know you done step all the way over. Lord, how I get over you? I know I shouldn't be talking about that.
Absolutely.
I know I shouldn't be doing
you say convicted. If you never get convicted. Of
yeah. If you're born again, you're going to get convicted.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get convicted. And that's how you know when you're born again.
See?
Nobody got to tell you that. If you get convicted on doing something, but some people are
mm-hmm.
so prideful,
pride, yeah,
that they get caught up in their own self
mm-hmm.
and think they're above the law.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when you've done something that's not right. And even if somebody do something in a crowd, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can tell the shift. When something is said out of order, you can tell it. You can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in service Sunday. You can just tell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so if you're born again and pursuing after God, it's different from you making a decision on something because your carnal mind tells you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do something that's carnal, the Holy Ghost is going to say, you know you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you accept you being wrong or not, but you're going to get convicted. That's the difference.
Okay, look here and then here.
I just want to say that.
We are real out of time.
Uh-huh. Ever since I was 8 years old, first back that I can remember, they always say that if you want to know what's going on in church, ask somebody in the choir.
Stop it.
I have heard that, not just in the church that I raised, I mean, in any church, if you want to know what's going on behind the scenes,
ask somebody in the choir.
They'll
tell you. Say they know.
Okay.
I got the echo on what Pastor Brother Field just said, because the Lord got on me about something dealing with that. Yesterday, my daughter called me. And she said, Mom, you ain't gonna believe what happened. And that's a pastor who had fallen that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna call his name, but he's not around here. And I just said, oh, I'm so happy for him. He don't repent it. And I believe that he's for real. And he's going to get what he don't gotten back out there. And I said, Mom, I'm through with him. I said, I'm just through. I said,
you gotta pray for him.
I said, I don't think I'm going to be listening to him no more. You know what the Lord told me? What if I had a soul too, I was through with you. You're supposed to be praying for him.
Mm-hmm. Pray for him.
But you kind of made me sad about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Like I said, I'm blessed with leaders to think another way, but the Holy Ghost is going to convict you of your wrongness. And so it's normal. That's why Paul said we have this two members, this two Lords working in our members, trying to pull us one way. And if we have our nature, everybody have different nature. Okay, everybody have different nature. Listen to what I'm saying. All of us have different experiences. Those experiences give us different nature because we've been nurtured in certain ways. Y'all got me? How I receive stuff is based on what I've been experiencing. But in order to please God, I have to override that experience by His Spirit. Even when that class we talk about prophecy and all that stuff, dealing with discernment, you cannot allow your experiences to filter what God is telling you because you're going to mess up. God is telling you something from the Spirit, but because of what you saw and what you heard, you're going to interpret it that way, but you don't have to believe it. So you need the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul is just trying to stress. He's trying to stress them. You can't do this on your own. Got to have the Holy Ghost. Got to have the Spirit of God. Got to pursue the Spirit.
I believe.
Y'all know my favorite scripture. Either mind the devil will stop. So that goes good with the lesson.
Mm-hmm. We do say it a lot.
It may be, but it never
attacks. It
does another one that says cleanliness.
Go back and look at it.
There's another one that says cleanliness is next to godliness. I never, I've heard it all my life, but I never. Cleanliness.
There's something about cleanliness in there. I'm not sure what that.
The cleanliness is my grand, when they used to make you clean up when you were kids.
Mm-hmm.
They used to make you sweep the yard with a broom or those.
Yeah.
Cleanliness. I always heard cleanliness is next to godliness.
Mm-hmm.
It may be. I never read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what they put there.
I think you live by Proverbs.
Yeah. Fables. Yeah. The thing is, and we can be thinking about this and talk about it next week, but in this chapter, It just comes up to me, like what we're talking about right now is just people in the church, and we know the folks in the church and who confess that they are born again, but they do a lot of stuff. And so that is the part that when I was asking that question about being born again and being carnal. Because people shack in the church, people commit adultery, people fornicate, people drink, folks lie, and folks gossip, and all this kind of stuff. I'm not talking about out there in the world. I'm talking about right in the church. So I'm saying a person that is born again, will we as born again people caught up in that, or we need to be checking our soul salvation if we are caught up in those types of things. And I believe Elder Heath said something about once you get that word in you and you are fully committed to the Lord, then if you do something wrong, then you're going to be repenting. I think that's what, too, you're going to be convicted. So, but what if you have a born-again person that lives with a person? They're not married, but they having kids and all of that. But
your job is to intercede.
So that's interceding. That is going to be the interceding.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the interceding, knowing that these are things are going on in the church. Not to say that they are not born again.
Right. It ain't
right.
But in our job, that's what I was saying, is to get common with God, get the gospel, because
it's not carnal. It's not carnal.
We can't think that we got something that's going on with us.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
We can't look at that person just because they're doing something that we think is one of the big things. No, we all have faults.
We all
that we're working
can
on.
Go carnal.
So if we have a heart to pray for that person to be delivered, God would help us to be delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you pray for deliverance when you see something.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say when God shows you something, it ain't about to tell nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
You should go to him in prayer and help. Because if you want, see, again, walking after the Spirit, you pursuing what God, the will of God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your main thing is, what's the will of God? God wishes that all would be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person ain't living a saved life, your desire is for that person now to be saved,
mm-hmm.
to be living a godly life.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you do or say is going to be to try to get that person closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter what they're doing. Your desire is to get that person close to God. Period.
Period. Period.
It's my opinion that it's always, as bad as it looks, it's always better for a person, two people who are shacking, to be members of the church. Because every time they come into church, when two or three are together in his name, he'll be missed.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost is in there. They will have a better chance of getting saved or getting delivered or convicted or whatever, or communicated or whatever, in the, being here in the church,
mm-hmm.
than they would if they were
in the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they were out on the corner, if they were down on the beach and all that.
Convicted,
I have been lying to the ground, something that they saw in the church, the speakers. So you can sit here, and that's what the Bible tells us, perfect
not
assembling together by faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's something from that pulpit of somebody next to you, mm-hmm. there's something in here that has a solution to what you're going through.
Right, right,
so,
right,
it's
right,
like
right.
You said before, you have people come in and looking all good and all smelling good, looking like $1 million,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit here and they hate to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Women got to go home to an abusive husband or go home to a drunk husband,
mm-hmm.
and all this kind of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go home to children abusing their parents.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they sit here and they say, Lord, what can I do? Well, the solution will come to them from here,
mm-hmm.
rather than somebody on the street corner. Hey, let me sell you this necklace.
Right.
All this. Hey, I got healed. And hey, I got
right.
all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And all
right.
people got saved.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
people got healed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us think that once you get saved, that you're automatically delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Most alcoholics are known. I bet you
mm-hmm.
there's some Christians in there
mm-hmm.
that go to church on Sunday
mm-hmm.
and get out of church on Go to church on Sunday morning, hear Jimmy Lee sing them old gospel
mm-hmm.
at 8 o'clock and get out of church and go to the whiskey house. Guy has sent a little half pound of whiskey for he paid 50 cents for it, he sells for $5. I'm sending up food and a fire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all that kind of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
I was in church all morning, boy, he sure preached. What did he preach about? Oh, no,
but
he sure sold down. He went down this morning. Yeah. But that was better than being in the church, in the witch house.
Yeah, that's true.